start with afternoon session. Let's welcome Professor Tanabashita from Kobo to continue this lecture on precision tests and new physics. I'd like to continue my lecture. Please stop anywhere if you feel questions. In the morning lecture, I introduced briefly the Weismann star model at 3 levels, and then discussed about the coupling theorem. The coupling theorem is actually valorized in Weismann star model. Enables us to study the non-decoupling effect, and actually we found it was very powerful. To analyze the non-decoupling effect, that is the testing Takeuchi parameter. And we also found that the precision test say very strong things about Higgs mass, because the large Higgs is non-decoupling effect. Large Higgs mass gives non-decoupling effect. So because of that reason, we obtain very stringent bounds of Higgs. So in this lecture, I would like to continue my these things for a little bit advanced topic. First, I would like to first consider about so-called technical error model and estimation of technical error model. We will find that the technical error model tends to predict too large S parameters, so it can be killed by using present precision data. I would like to next consider the so-called electrolytic chiral pathway theory. In the morning lecture, I considered the non-decoupling effect in so-called oblique correction. Oblique correction is nothing but the gauge boson two-point function. But there exists a very powerful combination that gives us some technology to study non-decoupling effect, even including gauge boson three-point function and four-point function. That technology is known as the electrolytic chiral pathway theory, so I will explain it. And finally, I would like to explain so-called universal non-oblique correction. This is very interesting, because some kind of Z prime, W prime model, which is very important Z prime or W prime model, can be restricted by using this so-called universal non-oblique correction. That kind of universal models which can be studied by using this tool includes so-called little Higgs model. So it is very interesting. So let me remind you what is the precision we obtain in ST plot. As you see it, that we have some bound of the S and T about the four S parameter, we obtain bound somehow like a 0.0 with the accuracy of this plus minus 0.14. For T parameter, we obtain same accuracy. So first, I'd like to consider how we can estimate S parameter in beyond standard model, like technical error. First, let us consider what technical error means. We first consider the so-called dynamical transmitted breaking in QCD. QCD is a well-known QCD. if the Kaufman in QCD zero, two flavor masses QCD, then there exists top chiral symmetry. We can rotate left hand fork and right hand fork independently. That implies that there exists SU2 times SU2 symmetry. But if you are considering the massless QCD, and there exists strong bounding force between fork and anti-fork. And that strong bounding force is given by the so-called QCD scale, about 100 MeV. So this massless fork bounds that this massless fork appear, then that because of the binding energy, that mass bound state becomes a tachyonic. So that causes dynamical chiral symmetry breaking in QCD gas theory. So we expect the we actually have such a phenomenon, and the dynamical chiral symmetry breaking takes place in actual QCD. That causes that the SU2 left symmetry times the SU2 right symmetry, that is the original QCD symmetry, global symmetry, is broken to diagonal SU2. This is what we find in QCD phenomenology. Actually, there exists Nernst-Goldstone boson, which can be identified as the Nernst-Goldstone boson of this symmetry breaking pion. This looks quite similar to the electroweak symmetry breaking structure with custodial symmetry. In that case, SU2 weak symmetry times SU2 symmetry goes to SU2 custodial symmetry. So maybe we can use this kind of dynamical symmetry breaking mechanism in construction of the physics beyond the standard model. So technical model is nothing but an attempt to apply this mechanism, dynamical chiral symmetry breaking mechanism for the electroweak symmetry breaking. So it is very interesting alternative to the standard model. So let us consider the model. We consider a very simple model. We consider the NTC gauge theory. This is the analog of QCD gauge theory. And one doublet technique fermion. And the left-hand technique fermion feeds the SU2 weak force, while the right-hand technique fermion is identified as feeds the hypercharge gauge interaction with this quantum number. Then, NTC gauge coupling becomes strong, quite strong at stable scale. Then the stable scale strong interaction causes Q and Q bar bound state, and then because of the bounding energy, that mode becomes tachyonic, and you will obtain the dynamical chiral symmetry break, dynamical electroweak symmetry break through the condensate system. Then there should exist Nernst-Goldstone boson associated with this break, and this Nernst-Goldstone boson is actually eaten by W, longitudinal component of W and Z boson. And the distinguished property of this model is the absence of Higgs-like particles. Scalar-like particles does not exist within the technical theory. But instead of that, we obtain analog Rho meson, vector meson in this kind of model. Simple analysis based on large NTC analysis, we can predict the mass of the technetium, something like 2TeV or so. So let us consider to estimate S parameter in this model, whether this model is actually survives precision test or not. The S parameter is defined by the difference of these two vacuum polarization functions. So we need to calculate this difference. But because this pi tilde was defined as a slope at the origin, so we can derive this to this form. The original vacuum polarization function derivative of original vacuum polarization function. Then we use that the electro magnetic charge is related to weak hypercharge and weak antispin. Then this difference can be understood as the hypercharge. So all we need to calculate is the back and polarization function between the SU2 weak and the weak hypercharge. Then, looking at this simple model of the hypercharge assignment, hypercharge is nothing but the third component of SU2 rise. Right? So, this can be written as the left current and right current mixing. Then, in order to calculate this left and right mixing, all we need to do is calculation of the vector current correlator and the axial vector current correlator, and then we can calculate left and right mixing. So far, okay. But the challenge here is how we can calculate reliably the back and polarization function in technical model. Because as I told you, that the technical model is strong interaction model. So we cannot rely on the perturbative estimate. We need to do something non-perturbative in order to estimate S parameter in technical model. We know a method which works reliably well, reasonably well in QCD hadron dynamics, because the QCD has similar structure, so we can test this method in QCD. So that is called vector mission dominance model calculation. In that calculation, first consider about the axial vector current correlator. Then, because of the current conservation, this function should behave like this. Lorentz structure should behave like this. And then, I'm interested in this structure. So, we assume some Newton dominance in this back and forth function. There exists contribution coming from Nernst-Golson boson and axial vector boson in this back and polarization function. Because the Nernst-Golson boson is massless, they should have massless propagator. This comes from this Baumbach square. So this is current correlator, so this back and polarization function at origin can be written like a Nernst-Golson decay constant square. That is nothing but the weak scale square. And there exists another contribution coming from axial vector meson. That axial vector meson coupled with this current. In order to avoid the massless pole at origin, there should exist this kind of Lorentz momentum dependence. And also we need the A1 meson, axial vector meson pole. We can do similar thing for the vector current. And vector current can be written, vector current correlator can be written like this. Here, important things is contribution coming from the Tepe-Rho meson. Let us start with this simple technology. And then we know that this difference of correlation behaves as Van der Waals Ketu force in very high energy, using very simple argument. This can be read from, because you need left and right current mixing, that should contribute the two the chirality flip between left and right current. Chirality flip takes place only because of the Q/Q condenser in this model. Then, this difference should be proportional to the vacuum excitation value of Q/Q. you know that this mass dimension is 3. And it should be square because we need 2 chirality 3. And we also know this mass dimension of this vacuum polarization function is 2. So we can understand the high energy behavior of this difference should behave like this one. Actually, the model we employ in the vector Newton dominance, if we impose these two relations, these relations are known as the Weinberg-Sum rule, first Weinberg-Sum rule and second Weinberg-Sum rule, then the current correlator can be made to behave like this. And high energy behavior can be written, given by k to the 4. If we adopt this simple vector Newton dominance function and Weinberg-Sum rule result, then we can eliminate this vector Newton coupling to the current and the A1 Newton coupling to the current by using these Weinberg-Sum rule, and we obtain simple expression for S parameter. And we know the mass of Rho meson and mass of A1 meson in QCD. And by adopting simple large NC argument, this S parameter contribution can be literalized. So if technical we adopt the SU3 technique around, then we expect the size of S parameter about 0.25. We can improve, in order to make the analysis more accurate, we can include so-called chiral logarithms in this analysis. Chiral logarithms is nothing but the pion, extra pion contribution. Then, if we adopt the S parameter is defined as the deviation from the standard model. So, this chiral logarithm contribution starts from the mass of vector meson to the mass of Higgs. This is the reference point. If we take this reference Higgs scale about 300 GeV, then because of this large logarithm, S parameter, prediction of S parameter enhanced a little bit. S becomes somehow 0.35. This value should be confronted with this one. This yellow curve is nothing but the current measurement in the assuming the reference mass, Higgs mass about 300 GeV. So, as I told you, that the technical model, vulnerable technical model, is give prediction of this line. So it would be you find that it would be very difficult to explain the deviation from this to this. So in that sense, it is usually said that the technical model ruled out. Actually, in QCD analysis, we know that this method works about within 10% accuracy, so we cannot change this prediction. Then, we need to know something. The vector Newton dominance estimate of S parameter is significantly larger than the one loop estimate. We already performed one loop analysis of S parameter. That says that the S parameter, each doublet contributes to S parameter 1 over 6 pi. Then, we are considering NTC equals 3 model. So, this technique fermion, if this technique fermion behaves as a 3 fermion, then it should contribute to S parameter something like 0.16. So, this difference should be understood as a large enhancement due to the strong technical interaction. If the reason why I emphasize this is that the 0.16 seems to be still okay. But the strong enhancement kills the technical theory. So, usual technical model is already killed before the analysis of the S&P parameter because it cannot explain the flavor change in neutral current. In order to explain the flavor change in neutral current, technical dynamics should be modified. It is a well-known thing. One of the popular modifications is known as walking technical model. In which the in walking technical model, the dynamics is usually assumed to be very different from the conventional technical model. So the unfortunately, there is no reliable estimate in working technical model. Somewhere between these two values, but I'm not sure what happened, really. So maybe it might be okay if the reasonable working can cure the S-parameter problem of technical. There's a chance. But we cannot calculate. I would like to move to the next topic, so-called electrolytic chiral pathology theory. What we want to do in this theory is to make a catalog of all possible non-decoupling effects. We already have cataloged non-decoupling effects in oblique collection, but there should exist other non-decoupling effects. By using the electrolytic chiral pathology theory, we can make a, all possible catalog. That is the important thing. In order to do that, Felkis and Barnard proposed to use non-linear symmetry models. Suppose the Higgs mass goes to infinity in the standard model. Then the original linear symmetry model, Higgs Lagrangian, is replaced by so-called non-linear signal field. Original Higgs mode field that is written in 2x2 matrix field can be written as some kind of this type of non-linear model field. Because the radial component is frozen of the large Higgs mass. Here, this W is the number of Goldstone boson eaten by longitudinal component of W and Z. If you adopt this Lagrangian, then the original Higgs Lagrangian is replaced by this by using this non-linear signal model field. Point here is that the non-linear signal model field is dimensionless. So, we can write a lot of operators which survives even in large mass limit. This is a list of sweeping even dimension 4 operators using the nonlinear symmetry field. In that manner, we can catalog all possible non-decoupling effects as coefficients of these operators because these coefficients alpha 1 to alpha 11 should be dimensionless. So it should survive even after heavy mass limit. Right? Actually, from L1 to L5 was already proposed in original Felkis Barnard paper. L6 to L10 was introduced by the Donjithan. And L11 was introduced by Felkis and Donjithan. Anyway, makes the 11 operator makes the all possible non-decoupling effects in the electric symmetry Brayton sector. Here, probably I should explain my notation. T is nothing but the, tau 3, right-hand tau 3, dressed by non-linear model P. So it behaves as it behaves as some field transform under S2 to left. anyway, the important thing is that dimension of this coefficient are zero. So it should survive even if we use the max infinity limit. Let me, in addition to that, there exists one additional dimension 2 operator. But this dimension 2 operator violates custodial symmetry because there exists non-zero t. You say that the t is violates custodial symmetry because it specially use tau 3, third component of SU2 right. So it breaks. If you use this field, then custodial symmetry should be broken. So this operator breaks custodial symmetry, even in hypercharge going to zero limit. This is a list of properties of these 12 operators. First, for dimension 2 operators, we only have one custodial symmetric violation operator. This operator contains gauge boson, at least two gauge bosons. So you expect this operator contributes to oblique correction, because oblique correction is a correction in the two-point function gauge boson. The other non-decoupling operator can be listed. From alpha 1 to alpha 5, there is no custodial symmetry violation. From alpha 6 to alpha 11, there exists certain custodial symmetry violation.
Sorry, this L1, alpha 1, you can say
the
custodial parameter,
but there is a T parameter. Oh, that's what I said. But this T parameter is connected to hypercharge. So it survives. This dependence going to zero if you take hypercharge coupling boundary.
So it's associated
with one. Yeah. So see, I'm talking about if you take the hypercharge gauge coupling to zero, then custodial symmetry should be restored in this operator. But from this operator do not have hypercharge dependence, so these operators do not restore custodial symmetry, even if you take hypercharge gauge coupling to be zero. In that sense, they are custodial symmetry operators.
So, whenever you have B,
So, and then the point. Next point I should emphasize is that the number of custodial symmetry violations is different. Well, for example, the L6 custodial symmetry is violated twice. L6, L7, L8, L9. But for L10 and L11, especially L10, custodial symmetry should be violated four times. So it is expected to be very small. And for L11, custodial symmetry violates only one. And I also list the number of gauge boson which involve a minimum number of gauge boson involved in this operator. So beta 1, alpha 1, and alpha 8. Contribute to oblique correction because they have two gauge boson field. But the alpha 2 and alpha 3 and alpha 9 do not contribute to oblique correction because this operator at least involves gauge field, three gauge field. And from the custodial symmetry argument, it is expected that size of magnitude of alpha 1 and alpha 5 much larger than the alpha 6 from alpha 6 to alpha 11. And as I told you before, that the custodial for the oblique correction, only operator contributes oblique correction is the beta 1 and alpha 1 and alpha 8. this operator actually corresponds to the oblique collection parameter of Deskin-Takeuchi, ST and U. Okay? So these things, it is interesting to see that these things are known much earlier than the Deskin-Takeuchi pioneering work. In reality, it was first predicted by some accuracy. Anyway, these three operators should be severely constrained from the electric precision test. So, can we do similar thing for other operators? That is an interesting question. As I told you before, that the from alpha 2 and alpha 3 and alpha 9 and alpha 11, these operators contribute to, do not contribute to oblique correction, but it does contribute to the triple gauge boson vertex. So it may be possible to detect this operator, non-decoupling them, through the measurement of triple gauge boson vertex. Let me parameterize the triple gauge boson vertex corresponding to this operator by using Hagiwara Fechter-Zehlstra notation. And this notation defines as the ratio of standard model gauge coupling. But the part of the standard model is somehow ambiguous. So here I define standard model interaction as a by using the Weinberg arm defined from Z boson map. If you do so, there by using the mixing from the coming from oblique correction, there exists non-trivial contribution from even from beta 1 to this size now. There is no correction here because this is nothing but charge universality of photon. But the other 1, 2, 3, 4 operators can deviate from the standard model value. These 4 operators correspond to these 4 sets of operators. So there exists, we can write down the connection between the electric chiral perturbation coefficients, beta 1, alpha 1, alpha 3, and the Hagiwara Fechter-Zehlstra notation. This way. And as I told you, that the if Cassoulet symmetry violation is negligible, it is likely that the Cassoulet symmetry violation is negligible. In that case, these three operators can be related. And at the left electroweak working group web page, looking at the left electroweak working group web page, you can find the present bound of these two operators, assuming this relation. You know, we know that this bound is somehow 1% level. So we can deduce the value of this chiral coefficient at the 1% level bound. And this is triple gauge boson vertex. And the other vertex from alpha 4, alpha 5, alpha 6, and alpha 7, alpha 10. This process involves these operators only involve the gauge boson, number of gauge boson larger than 4. So it can be, in order to detect the effect of these operators, we need to consider WW scattering process. Actually, the Professor Hong Jian Ha's group calculated this kind of thing. Is this the linear collider bound? So we found that there actually exists other class of non-decoupling. And that can be catalyzed by electroweak chiral catalytic theory. So what we want to next to do is estimate this operator from the beyond standard model scenario. So let me first consider the effect of heavy fermion D. As I told you, that the alpha 1 and alpha 8 can be related to S and T parameters. Also, S and U parameters. So, the calculation of S and U parameters can be used in the DSP. We need to perform triple gauge boson boundary, heavy fermion calculation. Then, you found that the alpha 2 from alpha 3, alpha 9, and alpha 11 can be written by complicated expression. But you may be curious about what happens in Kasuya-symmetric limit because there is a distance contribution here. But this contribution can be actually cancelled by distance. This is a similar situation occurred in U parameter. Then, after correct expansion, what we found is actually written in Aperkis and Wu paper. And if the U and D fermions are almost degenerate, then the mass difference should be much smaller than the average value of mass. Then we can expand using the delta N. Beta 1, that is the dimension 2 of beta coefficient, is just proportional to delta m squared. Delta m squared can be understood that this operator violates custodial symmetry twice. And alpha 1 is custodial symmetric. Alpha 2 is custodial symmetric. Alpha 3, forgetting about this small correction, then it is also custodial symmetric. But for alpha 8, alpha 9, as I told you, that the alpha 8 violates custodial symmetry twice. So what you found is that the custodial symmetry violates twice because the delta m square exists. Alpha 9 is also breaks custodial symmetry twice. That can be written from this equation because custodial symmetry is broken twice because of the delta m square. For alpha 11, custodial symmetry is broken only one time. This can be written in the definition here. We use T operator. T is only one. Anyway, what we expect is that the size of custodial symmetry violating operator should be extremely suppressed because it is in order to avoid delta rho constraint, delta m should be small, and because the average value should be very large, then this operator should be very small. If this is the case, then degenerated heavy force generation predicts the size of these things about the 4 times 10 to the minus power. As I told you, that we have not yet achieved this precision right now for the TGV analysis. So that is the reason why we do not force these things very much. But in future, if you consider linear polarizer, then we can achieve the precision of TGV just this order. So maybe this can be much important. And I also should mention about the effects of minimization rule. Suppose some model which suppose some At certain scale, these coefficients are extra coefficients, beta 1 and alpha r, becomes all zero. Even in that theory, we can say something about the coefficient. Because the non-trivial, there exists a loop diagram coming from Goldson boson. That loop diagram is known to be very important in hadron chiral dynamics. This is known as chiral logarithm. Such a correction should exist even in electric chiral perturbation theory. Calculating these diagrams, after appropriate minimalization, this coefficient should run. We found that this coefficient needs to run. Non-trivial running uses this. So if you suppose a very heavy Higgs standard model, you imagine a situation that the very heavy Higgs standard model can be matched to this electric chiral perturbation theory by using usual matching procedure in the theory. Then, if you do that matching, then what we obtain is that at the mass of Higgs, these coefficients should be almost zero because the heavy Higgs does not contribute to this operator at three levels. But starting from this boundary condition, because of this minimization group, you obtain the large logarithmic learning of this operator. Then, relating this operator to T parameter and S parameter, then this explains logarithmic learning, actually explains the large log NH correction I explained this morning. This is the reason why you obtain this log NH behavior. So, even if Higgs mass becomes very heavy, then this logarithmic enhancement is what they say. Comes from the low energy region. So I believe that this property is somehow reliable even if Higgs mass is very large. This is the absolutist Bernard presentation, but we can use different parametrization of electric chiral perturbation theory motivated by Gast and Lloyd-Weyler's usual chiral perturbation theory, hadron dynamics. The relations between this Gast and Lloyd-Weyler type of parametrization and the absolutist Bernard type parametrization is given by C. But this Gast and Lloyd-Weyler type representation, we implicitly assume is two times SU2 symmetry. So we cannot parameterize the custodial symmetry power rating operator. Okay, let me move to the final subject I prepared for this lecture. We next consider, so far we consider the loop effect, non-decoupling effect. But if new physics contributes to electrolytic sector at three levels, then we can deduce very strong bound for such a kind of new physics. That is what I explained this morning. So, for example, Z prime model is a very interesting candidate as a beyond standard model candidate. This model can be constrained significantly. But the problem of this Z-prime parameterization, Z-prime model, is that this kind of three-level contribution do not have simple parameterization like ST and U. So we need to perform the fit of this model, model dependently. We cannot make a model independent parameterization. That is the problem. In order to deduce some bounds for this one, this kind of model. but it is okay so far. But recently, another class of Z-prime model, W-prime model, was proposed. In that model, so-called little Higgs model, the typical example is little Higgs. Little Higgs is nothing but the, what they say, a solution of hierarchy problem. And the, in order to cancel the quadratic divergence, instead of the supersymmetry Z, impose little Higgs partner of W and Z. That little Higgs partner cancels the quadratic divergence. In order to do that, you need it with W prime and Z prime. So. But this kind of little Higgs Z prime and W prime couple only to standard model current. That is the difference of usual Z prime model, E6 modulated Z prime. This model couples to the Hooke and Lepton sector, but the through different current, but the, this kind of universal model couples only, Z prime couples only through weak weak current and hypercharged current. If this is so, we can do better. We can parameterize the amplitude coming from this extra Z prime and W prime. So what is this? Is the Professor Chibukura, Simon Kuntianhawa, and Masafumi Kurashi. This in the class of fixed model, somehow we get this project. And we can we parameterize in addition to usual S and T prime, there should exist other contribution coming from the extra Z prime and W prime. That Z prime and W prime should be written as an effective four-plane operator at the scale of Z boson or W boson. So we add this operator here. So we can parameterize this amplitude. So in our parameterization, that the S and T parameter agree with standard Peskin-Takets definition S and T if extra Z prime and W prime contact interaction boundary. And also, our delta rho, delta is defined here, is nothing but the original definition of delta rho. Delta rho. That is the ratio of charged current and neutral current for the interaction. But because of the existence of non-trivial Z prime contact interaction, delta rho can deviate from the RRT parameter, which can be observed at the Z boson scale or the Z boson gauge coupling. And the alpha t is the what they say can be derived, the bound of alpha t can be derived from the Z boson form. That is by using the standard technology. The one of the examples of this kind of universal model is very interesting, actually. Let us consider SU2 times U1 times U1 interaction. This we introduce two Higgs. One breaks the SU2 times U1 to U1, and the other Higgs breaks the U1 times U1 to single U1. Then the mass, we can write down the 3 by 3 mass model. And the, we restrict the usual hypercharge coupled to only first hypercharge gauge group. Then what we obtain by using our parameterization is that negative S parameter and negative T parameter. And the rest of these two parameters is vanish. This is what we obtain. Then, if you implement this extra gauge to technical model that dying. Then, a technical error was killed because it predicts two large experiments. This two large experiments can be cancelled by using this extra U1 interval. And typically, isospin violation in technical sector gives a positive contribution to key parameters. So if you because we need to explain large top scores, that should exist somehow the isospin violation in technical aspects. That contributes to key parameter to positive. Then it might cancel the extra even negative key parameter. So hearing this, this sounds very nice because the technical model can be survived. But one drawback of this model is that this model predicts large opposing interactions. We can write a Barbieri's rule makes the similar parameterization earlier than our group. And their parameterization can be, for example, by using effective operator formalism, the parameter can be written like this. And we can relate these parameters to our parameter. Then the model I explained before, the technical plus extra U1 predicts in the Barbieri's language, S parameter equals 0, T equals 0, and the W equals 0, but there exists sizable contribution to Y parameter. This is the plot made by Barbieri's paper. And then this is the situation of these two parameters, S hat and T hat, in Barbieri's notation. And then if you do not impose the left two analysis using only the precision measurement, then the bound of S hat and T hat is quite broad. And Y hat, you may also consider the WY plane, then the constraint is broader than order 10. Then, if you do not impose left two bound of the cross-section measurement, then the model I just expressed seems to be okay because it predicts this size of quantity interaction. But if you impose the left two data measuring the E plus E minus going to exist back cross-section, then you can obtain the relatively stringent bound for that kind of contact interaction that makes shrink this bound. And the model I just explained was still can be killed. So maybe we need to be very careful at this moment. The precision bound is not enough. We need to also be careful about the bound of Fourier interaction. If the bound can be derived from left two or hadron interaction, we need to, in addition to the precision bound, we need to use such a Fourier interaction in order to constrain this class of models, universal models. Okay, let me summarize my lecture. The new physics scenario, which affects electric physics through non-decoupling radial correction, are severely constrained by precision data. For example, heavy force generation, marginal, but they already almost killed. And technical model, usual technical model can be killed because it predicts two large times. And also, precision data suggests that in the standard model framework, peak should be right. So if peak is born heavier than this bound or the above 300 GeV or something like that, then that the heavy peak itself implies the existence of new feelings. And thirdly, that the electrically chiral catalyst theory provides a very powerful framework to catalyst of all possible non-decoupling effects. So, so far, the relevant thing is SDU, but it can be used to, for the bound of triple gauge Wilson vertex and WWPG process. And recent proposal of little Higgs model or Higgs model promotes the general consideration of so-called universal model, in which that the Z prime and W prime couple only to the usual hypercharged current and usual weak current. Then, in order to constrain this kind of model, only SP is not enough. We need to do better things, including other correction parameters. Maybe this part may be covered by Professor Kibutura's lecture. Okay.
Anyone have comments or complaints?
The fourth generation fermion, you mean excluded, is only for like one doublet. If you consider the complete generation of fourth fermion, like I remember we did a couple of years ago, if you also have a neutrino, fortunately, like 50 GeV is just about the life true bound. It sounds like with the large T, seems still consistent with precision.
I'm just worrying about if the appropriate spin violation is here, then it can keep
positive. Yeah, slightly larger will give you a sizable delta T, but not too large T.
Yeah.
Because there was another group in Russian by O'Quinn, I think. They also found something similar for fourth generation, where it's relatively light in between the fourth generation, it sounds still consistent. But if it's just this one double technical color without anything else, might be somebody is in trouble. But if you, along the calculation, you have a complete fourth generation, at least up to one should be done.
Yeah.
Anyone want to ask some questions?
Okay, maybe I can add one. I mean, in your previous transparency, you showed that the standard model prefer a light fix.
Yeah.
And does it already mean that, as you said, this TC models prefer or requires very heavy hits?
Huh?
So does this standard model fit already disfavor the TC type models?
Yes, that is the reason why I said that the technical color is the standard technical color. Just technical of the QCD rather than the red key for DKF from the present day. We do not have reliable estimate based on P parameter in working technical.
There was some calculation.
Yeah, there's a lot of calculation actually. But the this calculation seems to disagree each other or something like that. So I cannot. Yeah. So that's the problem of working technical. Maybe somewhere between the strong technical to the simple bound estimate, but I'm not sure. But size of reducement can be expected. Recently, Masafumi Kurachi and Bob Shirov was very specific on this kind of subject.
There was also some discussion about the summation of the pseudo automotive.
Yes. Yeah, it depends on the very special kind of pseudo-Gaussian from boson. So you need to import some
model.
Yeah, usually that the Goldstone boson contribution enhances the exponent. Usual Goldstone boson. Because the chiral logarithmic correction enhances the exponent. So you need to input some unusual type of Goldstone boson.
This is a summer school, so we encourage students to ask questions and kind of suggestions if you have. If not, let's thank the student.
Thank you.